God. Heavenly Father, we bless you and thank you. And Jesus Christ, we know that you're here right now. We look forward to your return, Lord. We're going to finish and be found busy and doing well. The Lord, you said there's a special blessing. We claim that tonight in the book of Revelations for those that look forward to your return. Lord, we know you're here now, but we know you're coming back in person, and we know there's work to do. We pray, Lord, that we would understand the signs of the times and that we would proclaim that and be able to have it used as a witnessing tool to others. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. We love Jesus in his own name, I guess, huh? Hallelujah. Well, this chart, for those that are listening, to, I'm showing a chart. And on the chart, there is symbols. And the symbols look similar to each other. One of them says in the name of Allah. The other one says the Greek number 666. Now, I don't know what the Apostle John saw when he saw the future and what he saw 666. But I'm wondering if he saw this and assumed it was this. Just saying. They sure look alike, don't they? One says in the name of Allah. It's interesting because the people that wear that in the name of Allah are wearing it on their foreheads and on their arms, on their cloth materials and such. But anyway, just wondering. They both look pretty close to each other. I'm not sure what 666, it says it's a name, right? The name of the beast or the name of the whatever. So it's connected to a name somehow. And he said it's a 666 name. It might be it. It might be in the name of Allah. Now, biblical scholar and author Michael Youssef has written a new book entitled The End Times and the Secret of the Mahdi. That's M-A-H-D-I. That's the soon-to-come Islamic religious leader, like the second coming of Christ, but it's the second coming of their religious leader. Youssef believes that the Muslims' returning end-time savior will actually be the Antichrist of Bible prophecy, because there's this unholy trinity, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan. They form an unholy trinity, kind of like a counter to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I happen to agree with Michael Youssef. Youssef, who's the head of the ministry called Leading the Way in Atlanta, was born in predominantly Muslim Egypt, and he grew up there, and he's got a deep love for Christ and winning Muslims to Christ. The Antichrist is going to call himself a man of peace and offer himself as a peacemaker for this Muslim World War III that we're watching developing in the Middle East. The Shiite Muslims are trying to shape world events and bring the world into a crisis so they can usher in this 12th caliphate. That's what they call them, the leader or the Mahdi or the Imam. Their hope is to create a thermonuclear crisis and have millions die as a result. And they believe that in doing so, they're going to try to destroy the great Satan, whom they call the United States, and the small Satan, whom they call Israel. Global religious groups are now trying to blend Christianity and Islam together. If you haven't heard of it, it's called Chrislam. And both Roman Catholic Church as well as Islam worship the mothers of their prophets. They have Mary worship in Islam by the thousands, including counting rosary beads and praying to Mary, but it doesn't have a Christian cross on the rosary. And so both the Roman Catholic Church and Islam are involved in Mary worship. A lot of people think that Muslims are anti-Jesus Christ. They are not. They honor him as one of their great prophets and his mother. A lot of people think, well, if Jesus came back, they would be freaking out and trying to kill him. No, they wouldn't. If somebody showed up and said they were Jesus Christ, they would be saying, well, where you been? We're waiting for all of you guys to come back. We're waiting for Abraham to come back and Moses to come back and Jesus to come back. And so they would probably not try to destroy him, but welcome him. This Islamic Mahdi will eventually change from a man of peace to a man of persecution, and he's going to go after the Jews, and he's going to go after true Christians. There are several churches now in the United States, as well as Canada, that are now reading portions of the Quran, the religious book of Islam, in their church services as a show of unity, and they're putting the Quran alongside their hymnals and their Bibles in the back of the pews. Interesting, huh? I just want to take a couple of minute diversion here and tell you why I think that the Antichrist is going to be Muslim and will probably be this Mahdi. In Isaiah 14:22, it says that the Antichrist comes from Iraq or Babylon. In Micah 5:5-6, it calls him the Assyrian from Syria. And by the way, when Babylon was in charge of the world, every time they took over the world, they also took over the area of Syria. When the Assyrians took over the world, which is modern-day Syria, they also took over Iraq. So like they took turns taking over each other. So there was an overlap in those days. Revelation 24 says that the main way of execution of this particular leader is beheading people. Revelation 17 refers, it's a revived Roman Empire. There's Daniel's statue in Daniel chapter 2 that talks about historically who would rule the earth from the head of gold all the way down to the two legs. The two legs have 10 toes, and the 10 toes represent 10 kingdoms that the Antichrist is going to rule over. But notice it has two legs, a left leg and a right leg. The left leg and the right leg would refer to Rome and the city called New Rome, also called Constantinople, also called Istanbul, or the capital of Turkey, which was the other leg of the Roman Empire. It was never really technically called Constantinople. It was called officially New Rome, and it ruled the world four times, where Rome in Italy only ruled the world one time. Now, the old Roman Empire included Egypt, Ethiopia, Israel, Lebanon, Syria, parts of Iraq, the edge of Iran, Turkey, Jordan, Morocco, predominantly Muslim. A lot of people think that the Roman Empire was just like this little thing hanging out in Europe, but it wasn't. It extended to most of the modern Muslim day countries. The revived Roman Empire would also entail those same Arab countries that they had back then. In the first seal of 21 different events of end times prophecies, the Antichrist rides a white horse and is identified as returning to earth. In Matthew 24, Jesus Christ said, if they say to you, he's in the desert, don't go out, talking about the Christ. In the 12th Imam is supposed to come out of the desert riding a white horse for the Muslim prophecies. That's why every major Muslim leader always has a stable of white horses just in case they're selected. It's interesting that Jesus would say, if he comes out of the desert, says he's out there, don't go. Because the Muslims believe their Savior is going to be coming out and on a white horse when he does. And that's the first seal. The Ezekiel 38 war is a war that hasn't happened yet. And that's where Israel will be invaded and nearly be destroyed. The predominant groups are going to be Iran and Turkey will be the biggest invaders of that particular group. It speaks of a seven-year post-war period of time, 7 years. Also, Daniel speaks of a seven-year period of time that the Antichrist rises up in the middle of. The Muslims believe that the Mahdi will rule for 7 years and then be killed. Interesting parallel. We have both Ezekiel and Daniel, and the Muslims all believe in a 7-year rule of this leader. Daniel chapter 7, the Antichrist will change the times. How's he going to do that? He would most definitely change to the Islamic calendar and cancel out all Jewish and Gentile calendars. Daniel chapter 9, he will stop or halt the sacrifices that are going on in the Jewish temple. Zechariah 14, the Antichrist will divide Jerusalem into two parts. That's going on right now. That's part of this week's news. A big, huge deal with what President Obama did. I'll talk about that just a little bit later. I'm giving you all the reasons why I think that the Antichrist is going to be Islam, from where he comes from and what the Bible prophecy says. Daniel 8 calls the Antichrist, it says he's great. He's great or great leader towards the east of Jerusalem and Israel and towards the south. It says that Edom, Moab, and Ammon will escape his hand. Well, that happens to be the modern-day nation of Jordan, who the Bible prophecy says that's where the Jews flee to when the Antichrist takes over in Jerusalem. They flee to Jordan, and that's exactly the area that the Bible says that he will not be able to control. Matthew 24, he will begin persecution of the Jews and be against Christians. I don't know what leader would rise up that would be anti-Jew and anti-Christian other than this particular guy. So, right now, there's not a large enough anti-Jew and anti-Christian population in any group that I know of apart from the Muslim world. I don't think there's time for another group to simply rise up and take over power of the whole world that could do these events. I think we're so far into the end times that pretty much what we're seeing is what we're going to get. And I believe that the leader of this Muslim group is going to be the Antichrist. I know that people have read books and watched movies, and they said, I was pretty sure I saw he's a white guy in the movie, and he came out of Europe somewhere. Not so much. I mean, that was a bit of speculation from a couple of well-meaning end times people that were trying to make the revived Roman Empire a totally white man European thing. But it's probably going to be more like this world-dominated Mahdi imam person. By the way, the Muslims, they claim that he's already alive and on earth, and he's here, and he's not ready to be revealed yet, but they said he's being hidden in a desert. Whether he is or not, I don't know, but if we're that close to the end times, certainly he would be alive somewhere on planet Earth, having some role or some function. Now, the sidekick of the Antichrist is the false prophet. The false prophet is actually the one that sets up the 666 system, the one where the mark of the beast is not set up by the Antichrist. It's set up by the false prophet. The false prophet is known as being a lamb with two horns. The lamb represents Christianity. The horns represent the devil. It's going to be an evil Christian leader, whoever it is. Revelation 13 says he has two horns like a lamb. He said he speaks like a dragon. He's deceptive in what he says. It wouldn't be deception if you knew what you were looking at. So the guy's also going to look like he's smart and a man of peace. Revelation 13, he performs miracles and causes fire to come down from the sky. That impresses a lot of people. Me, all my fires seem to go up, but that's why the fire department knows me by first name. The current and the former pope both received the Islamic Quran as a gift, and they both have kissed it. They said that Christians and Muslims worship the same God. In fact, I'll be saying something about that in a little bit, too. Islam says the same thing. Islam says to follow the teachings of Christ, Moses, Abraham, and Muhammad. By the way, if you've seen in any of the photographs at all lately, what the Muslims are doing was an old thing that the Christians used to do 40 years ago. When the Jesus People movement was around, there's one way to Christ. The one finger held up in the air is now the new Islamic symbol for there is only one God and his name is Allah. And if you'll see in the pictures of all the gatherings of the Muslims and the celebrations, you'll see them all with their one finger in the air, including recently when President Obama walked past a whole group of Islamic leaders, and as he's walking by, he flips his one finger up. It wasn't the middle one. It was the pointer one. As he's walking by them, and then he drops his hand back down, and they snapped a photo of it. They knew what it meant. There is only one God, and his name is Allah. And President Obama, as his head was dropped and he's slipping by, he got caught giving him their Muslim sign, which is the one finger in the air now. Now, Chrislam, that's the blending of Christianity and Islam. And, of course, that's rising to power. I just said the last pope, when the last pope died, I had a Muslim doctor, and he said, what are you going to do now? I said, about what? He said, well, your leader died. I said, what leader was that? He said, you know, aren't you a Christian? I said, yeah. I didn't hear about anybody dying. He said, the pope died. Isn't he your leader? And I said, well, no. I said, he's not the leader of all Christians. But this Muslim doctor didn't know that. He just assumed there was only one leader of all Christianity, and that was the pope. Gave me some insight that the Muslim world, they didn't know that much about Christianity to know that not everybody follows the pope. The Catholic Church has just about as many followers as Islam does. Anyway, any peace treaty that they would put together would certainly have the pope's signature on it, and the head of the Islamic world, the world leaders, probably royalty would be there, people from the United Nations. Any kind of contract that they would have would probably have an extensive list putting their names down to this 7-year peace agreement. Now, the Antichrist doesn't rule and reign for the entire 7 years. He only rules and reigns for about 3.5 years, and he's not very successful at it. He runs into a lot of trouble. He causes a lot of trouble, but himself winds up being a pretty much a political and personal failure by the time it's all done. But he will kill a lot of people in the process. Now, the two horns represent two groups, two major world religions, I believe, that the one horn and the other horn on the head of the lamb could represent the coming together of the Roman Catholic Church and Islam. It's a possible interpretation. When President Obama had his inauguration, he had two people come and pray. He had Pastor Rick Warren, representing Christianity, and the co-founder of America's Muslim Brotherhood gave the other prayer. So he brought them both together. For Christians to accept Islam, Islam must present Jesus' teaching to be followed, which they do. For Islam to accept Christianity, Christianity must deny that salvation is only through Christ. Now, combining these troops would cover 1/3 of the world's population. That's a huge chunk of change right there. The current pope is promoting acceptance of Islam as worshiping the same God. In fact, he did that just recently again this year. Let's see. I believe that the false prophet is probably on planet Earth as well, probably in the Roman Catholic Church. I hate to say that. I'm not against Roman Catholicism. I believe that anybody that confesses Jesus as Lord and believe that God raised Jesus from the dead is saved. A lot of them will be deceived in what's going on in the world. But that doesn't mean that their salvation is canceled out because they got some other stuff wrong. I don't know what I've got wrong that I'm still working on to get revelation and get it straightened out. I know I've adjusted my theology over time, but that doesn't mean, because some people have come out and said all Catholics are going to hell. I'm not so sure about that because I hear them confessing Jesus as Lord sometimes on a daily basis. And if you ask them if they believe that the Father God raised him from the dead, they are convinced of it. And Romans 10:9-10 says, man, if you do that, you're saved. we've created this kind of a religion in the evangelical world that, oh, you have to pray to receive Christ as your personal Savior, but there's no scripture that says that. Jesus, talking to Nicodemus, said, you must be born again. But he said that years before he went to the cross. He said that before he even rose from the dead. He told them that he had to have a supernatural spiritual experience. I realize it was in a transition time, and I have no problem with somebody praying to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Whatever gets the job done. But just because somebody doesn't do it exactly that way, if they confess Jesus as Lord, believe he's the Son of God, rose from the dead, believe he is God, they're in. Regardless of the other theology that people would like to bump them out from. So just like in the Protestant churches, if somebody's saved, it's because they've received Jesus Christ in whatever method. I am so glad the Bible didn't tell us an exact prayer you had to pray. We'd turn that into a religion. So we worship things instead of what we should from the Spirit. Sometimes they say, well, you know, it'll be world-changing if they find the ark and bring it out and put it. No, people will just worship it. It'll just be one more problem. Here's some of the, you know, who Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Shaquille O'Neal, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Cat Stevens, Omar Sharif, those names familiar? Muslims, right? Broadcaster Casey Kasem, the rappers Ice Cube, Busta Rhymes, Snoop Dogg, all Muslims. Socialite Paris Hilton, comedian Dave Chappelle, singers Janet Jackson and Jermaine Jackson, actress Ellen Burstyn, Dr. Oz, the talk show host, all Muslims. Interesting that the group is growing in popularity. I like the guy. I like his vegetables. And he told me how to do this and pop my back. Here's a thought. What are the chances that a major world war will break out between now and January of 2022? In the next 5 years. You know what happens in January of 2022? That's actually the end of whoever gets elect president this year. They finish in January of 2022. What are the chances that a world war will pop between now and then? That means that whoever winds up being our next president is probably going to have their hands full no matter who it is. And it will be critical. Now, Russia's advanced RS-26 intercontinental ballistic missile changes directions supersonically. No missile defense system in the world is capable of stopping it. It weighs 80 tons, and it's the slim version of their former 120-ton RS-24. It packs 1.2 megatons of explosive power in four different 300-kiloton warheads that hits four separate targets. It has a range of 7,000 miles, and it can hit anywhere in the entire United States. Its booster stage only lasts less than 5 minutes, which means our defense systems do not have time to register a launch. As it approaches its target, it suddenly drops out of space, then acts like a cruise missile at supersonic speeds, switching directions all the time. It's slated to be operational this year. It's being developed since the year 2011. It went through its final tests last year. The 1.2 megaton bomb has about 100 times the power of a nuke that dropped on Hiroshima in Japan. Each of the four separate explosions would be 25 times the size of Hiroshima. The radius destruction from each smaller bomb would be a circle that's 85 miles across. If one of the four detonated on I-94 between Madison and Milwaukee, both Madison and Milwaukee would be completely wiped out, as well as Fond du Lac and Delavan. It's huge. not to mention where the other three would land. If one of them landed on any of the New England states, the entire state would instantly disappear. The whole state be gone. One missile of the four bombs could take out everything from Chicago to Minneapolis if it lined up all four of them in a row, if they dropped them in sequence, or from 50 miles north of New York to 50 miles south of Washington, D.C., it would be a glass parking lot. The Chinese government is nervous about this particular missile, as it also has no defenses against it. North Korea, by the way, if you remember last month they were here, they said they came up with a hydrogen bomb. You know, Russia and China, they say, yeah, we've got the capability to, too. We're not even going to build it, though. The reason why is because North Korea says we've got a prototype of a hydrogen bomb. The hydrogen bomb has 1,000 times the power of what fell on Hiroshima. In fact, if one of them babies went off, it would probably move the earth off kilter, or it would affect everything. That's why they don't even make them, because they say, we don't even want to mess with the possibility that some nut job blows one of them babies off. That'd be like 10 of the Russian ones going off. That's huge. It's beyond the pale to think about how massive that would be. Something that could cover a 800-900 mile area. Yeah, it'd take out half of the U.S. and probably move everything over. Here's another thought. What's the fastest way to form a new world order government? How about a world war followed by a peace agreement? Right now, the Middle East, North Korea, Iran, the U.S., and China are poised to start something, and I don't know what they're doing. The world globalist Dave Rockefeller said that all we need for a new world order is the right global crisis. And I'm thinking, how do you get a global government? You get a World War III started somewhere, and then in the aftermath, you form a new, not probably a United Nations or whatever, but a new form of global governance from that. Bernie Sanders said in a recent interview that Pope Francis is a socialite like him. Socialite, socialist, socialite, you know they do. He might be a socialite like him. Socialist. If I could read, I'd do better. In a recent interview, Pope Francis said that all major religions are different paths to the same God, and that all of us are God's children. Of course, Jesus said the opposite. He should have checked with his boss. Over 450,000 joined the Iranian House Church movement, as a great number of Muslims are turning to Christ, says Open Doors USA. 450,000 Christians. Now, these churches in Iran have about 4 to 5 people per church, and they change places, location, every single time they meet. They never meet at the same place. That's a lot. At least 200 Iranian Christians are being trained by the London-based Pars Theological Center to become the next generation of leaders in the Christian church in Iran. Never, ever count God out. The idea that why don't we just nuke them and turn them into a parking lot? Because the mass majority of those that would be standing on that parking lot are able to be reached if we don't count God out. A better way would be praying for the deterring of the leaders and the demonic forces behind them, and save the people. Hallelujah. Public school students in New York City created an international flag. They put it over the top of the U.S. flag, and they pledged allegiance to the international flag. The students were in kindergarten. I wonder how many of them can spell the word allegiance. A-L. Yeah. I bet they thought that up themselves. Why don't we get an international flag and superimpose it and then pledge to it, you know? They're probably just, you know, eating boogers or something like that and trying to figure out when they get their milk carton, when they have to stand up and pledge allegiance to this international. Are they being trained at an early stage? Last Friday, North Korea leader Kim Jong-un gave orders to his military to be ready to use its nuclear weapons at any time and also be ready to use them in a first strike rather than counterstrike. He told his military that from now on, North Korea's nuclear weapons are to be kept in standby mode. Interesting. China tightens its grip on Christianity and says that the government will ordain priests but won't ordain churches. New Zealand now legally recognizes weddings performed in the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. This is an anti-Christian organization, but not an anti-pasta organization. Founded in 2005 to basically mock all religion, but it won humanistic rights to perform weddings. By the way, they don't use ministers. They call them ministeronies to perform the service. I've seen a picture of the flying spaghetti monster. It looks real to me. I don't think it's photoshopped. President Xi Jinping of China has announced their biggest military overhaul in 60 years. Plans are to convert and transform their 2.3 million member People's Liberation Army into a modern war army. Their plans are, they say, is to be the most powerful military in the world. They see the weakness of the last 7 years of the United States and a divided United States as a way to rethink their warfare. They're concentrating on drones, satellites, lasers, and electromagnetic pulse bombs. Yep. The 14-year drought in the Middle East is the worst in 900 years. Jesus spoke of famines. Most famines are caused by war. The Obama administration has ordered a United States aircraft carrier and five escort ships to the South China Seas, where China is laying claim to the resource-rich 10,000 islands there. Two destroyers, two cruisers, a flagship are escorting the aircraft carrier. Japan is sending four additional cruisers and destroyers to the area. China's been busy building military bases with surface-to-air missiles in the disputed islands. What we're doing there, I have no idea. The South China Sea seems underreported and a long ways away, especially when the American presidential primary dominates our news. Nobody's paying attention to all this other stuff. In China, there's more and more talk of war. They want a fight with the United States. That's underreported. The United States calls the ownership of the islands disputed. The Chinese do not. China's exports in February of 2016 dropped over 25% compared with last year. Why is that important? That's huge. Not only that, they're laying off 6 million people that work for them. That's huge. Plus, their coal and steel sectors are collapsing. That's huge. Why is that huge? They need something to distract the people from rising up. And a war would do it. It would be a huge distraction. They are collapsing economically. They are in scramble mode to save their own currency. And as a result of it, they need a diversion. And right now, all the people are talking down with the United States. Let's go to war with the United States. Instead of, how about the 6 million jobs? And how about we're losing our economy? So it's irrational as to what purpose a shooting naval war with China would produce. In Vietnam, there was Carlos Hathcock, where he had 93 kills, and that's where the term that his Captain Land came up with, the one shot, one kill. Well, the Chinese has developed a super cruise missile that flies about 3 feet off the ground, and it's a super missile that can take out an entire destroyer, and they're calling it one shot, one kill. It doesn't need more than one hit from that. They've already developed it. And any of our ships would be a sitting duck if they ever wanted to use it. There's no defense against it. Iran's leader said this week that both the United States and Israel will be wiped out within 25 years. That's our peace partner, remember? That we just released $50 billion to, and eventually they're going to get a full $300 billion. On Tuesday of this week, Iran fired multiple ballistic missiles capable of hitting Israel. On the missiles, they wrote in Hebrew, "Israel must be wiped off the earth." And they launched them this week. Vice President Biden was in Israel at the time, and he told Netanyahu not to worry about the missiles, that we have their back. In response to Vice President Biden's promise to Israel, the United States chairman of the U.S. Foreign Affairs Committee on Terrorism said, "We're not going to do anything because the deal we cut with Iran never really did include missiles being tested, and especially intercontinental ballistic missiles." Attorney General Loretta Lynch said yesterday that the Department of Justice is exploring legal options that will charge climate change deniers with a federal crime. She said that the Department of Justice would arrest them through the use of the FBI. What's their target? The oil industry and carbon-based fuels. Justice Scalia had just voted against President Obama's climate change program in February, right before he died, which halted his climate change agenda, and then he died. If that same lawsuit were held today, it would not have been rejected by a 5-4 vote, but would have been stalemated. 27 states' lawsuits is unresolved. A federal crime to deny climate change that's man-made. What about the First Amendment? What about people that disagree? You know, that's dangerous ground for the head of the Department of Justice to say we want to make it a federal law that makes it against the law for you to say that climate change was not man-made. Weird, huh? A church in New Zealand has put up a billboard that will remain up through Easter, and it's being spread on social media. The billboard shows Donald Trump nailing Jesus Christ to the cross with the caption, "I don't like losers." The pastor of the church said, quote, "For those of us at St. Luke's, the cross is all about politics." Yeah, what's that about? Apparently, they're running out of things to do in New Zealand. North Korea announced last month that if they felt threatened, that they would certainly use weapons of mass destruction. Tensions in the region of the Korean Peninsula have been at their highest level in 20 years, according to General Scaparotti, reporting to the House Armed Services Committee. North Korea has 1.2 million soldiers, 3,500 tanks, 21,100 pieces of artillery, 72 submarines, 302 helicopters, and 563 combat aircraft, and probable prototypes of various nuclear weapons. I don't know if you remember Vietnam, but in Vietnam, the third largest army in the world was the United States. The fourth largest army in the world was North Vietnam. This is North Korea. Don't think that they're just chewing bark off trees because 2 million people are starving to death. They have 1.2 million soldiers, 3,500 tanks, 72 subs. I mean, they're nothing to be messed around. We think, well, they're just backwards and behind the times and they're non-functional. Well, that stuff came from somewhere. Sure, they're trading with China, but the deal about it is like, if we underestimate what they can do, we could be in trouble. On Tuesday, North Korea, this week Tuesday, threatened indiscriminate nuclear strikes on the United States. It says, we don't care where they land. We'll just launch and they'll land where they land. While South Korea and United States forces held war games practicing taking out North Korea's nuclear missile sites. At this point, the United States believes that North Korea has nukes, but not the technology to put them on missiles and launch them. Right now, 300,000 South Korean troops are joining 17,000 U.S. forces practicing attacking North Korea. Yesterday, North Korea released a picture of its president standing next to a miniaturized nuclear warhead. What they don't have is the capability of putting a large warhead on a long-range missile, but it appears they do have the capability of at least launching miniaturized nukes from Scud missiles off of container ships or whatever short range. The SGCA is called the Single Global Currency Association. It's dedicated to the goal of implementing a single global currency within the global monetary union, a one world currency. Their goal is to have this all in place by the year 2024. On Tuesday, Iran threatened to walk away from their nuke deal hours after they violated the deal by test-firing ballistic missiles, which were prohibited by the deal, although then we found out from our own sources that technically they weren't prohibited. We never had them in as part of the deal. They were never prohibited from actually making missiles and testing them. Well, now that they have their $50 billion back, there's no reason to keep the deal. By the way, the deal was never signed. You do know that. When they refused to sign it, we said, we're just going to function as if it's in place. And they said, we're just going to use it kind of like designed to be a guideline. So there never was a deal signed, even though they came back saying, hey, the deal's done. It was never agreed upon, never signed, and never had anything about testing missiles. Last March, Israel's defense minister said that Iran is building a terror network of sleeper cells that are stockpiling arms, intelligence, and operatives to be used inside of Europe and America. Up until recently, Hezbollah, that's that terror group that is north of Israel and Lebanon, they have 100,000 rockets, and they are based in Lebanon. This week, the Hezbollah leader said that when the next war against Israel begins, that they will be part of an invading force and cross the border into Israel instead of just lobbing rockets like their previous wars. They said that their part or their assignment in the invasion will be to cross into Israel and take over the area of the Sea of Galilee, which is Israel's number one source for fresh water. Apparently somebody's been sitting down having some planning meetings. Now they're letting this information out. You say, why would they tell us that? In Islam, the way you fight a war is first you tell your enemy what you're going to do, and then you do it. Kind of like all the way back to Samson and Goliath, although he was a Philistine, not a Muslim, but these are the Hezbollah and the Islam group. They said, I'm going to, you know, chop you up and feed you to the dogs and all that stuff like that. Part of the, part of the warfare in that part of the world is to first tell your enemy what you intend to do and then follow through. And that's what they're doing right there. Because a lot of people say, well, they're just saying that. In the Islamic world, saying it means I'm going to follow through with it. Because we run around with our media, oh, everything's a bluff, until it happens. Hezbollah said that they would have attacked Israel sooner, but they've been delayed and bogged down by the civil war in Syria next door to Lebanon. With all of the ISIS hogging all the headlines, Southern Sudan, they've had 50,000 killed In the past 24 months, or about one every 20 minutes. Besides the 50,000 dead, 2.2 million refugees are on the move. The United States is trying to protect as many as they can, but they've only been able to get 200,000 of them into the camps, and there's an extra 2 million of them that are running for their lives. Boko Haram, Islamic terrorist group, has killed 4,000 mainly Christians in Nigeria now. Last week, under the cover of the Syrian ceasefire, Iran's Revolutionary Guard, who had just announced that they were pulling out completely, moved hundreds of Palestinian terrorists to the Syrian-Israeli border face-to-face with Israel, where they could actually see each other. That's up by the Golan Heights. This would not be an attempt to invade Israel, but they are there to position and recruit individual terrorists to go in on these lone wolf things, go in and stab one person, blow up one thing. And so they're starting training operations and recruiting operations within sight of the Israeli guards. Israel's kind of stuck. If they attack inside Syria during the Syrian ceasefire, they get accused of fomenting more war from the international community. So they'll have to wait until the ceasefire and the peace talks collapse and hope to keep as many terrorists as possible from filtering through. That's right on their border. And Iran is Persia in Bible prophecy, one of the two main countries that's going to be coming down from the north in the Ezekiel 38 invasion. Last month, Iran's defense minister arrived in Moscow with a check for $14 billion and asked Russia to build them a modern army. That's Persia again. Iran is on a shopping spree with their freed up $50 billion. Iran has already transferred the Russian missile systems that they have received from Russia to Hezbollah. Those are the ones capable of shooting down aircraft. So this week, Russia canceled the rest of the S-300 missile system to Iran, because now it looks like their own Russian planes could get shot down by their own S-300 system that's already been transferred to Hezbollah. So I don't know how far that $14 billion check is going to go, because they've stopped the S-300. Open Doors Ministries, the watchdog organization for Christian persecution, listed 2015 as the worst year for Christian persecution in modern history. 9 of the top 10 persecuting countries are Muslim. Is that a surprise? Muslim extremism is the source of persecution in 41 of the top 50 countries. The top countries that persecute Christians are North Korea, Iran, Iraq, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, Somalia, Sudan, and Nigeria. The United States Security Council has always, now this is one of the biggest things of this month. This is huge. The United States Security Council has always vetoed the United Nations Security Council resolution. That's the old blueprint for dividing Israel up with the Palestinians and dividing Jerusalem. Israel has always counted on the United States to veto that move in all the peace talks. Now, for the very first time, it was reported on Monday that President Obama is now going to support the United Nations blueprint instead of vetoing it. That's huge. That's unprecedented, because now Israel has to think, what? They always relied on them to say this isn't going to happen. What they want to negotiate for is safe borders that they can defend, where the United Nations push is going all the way back to 1949, where they cannot defend those borders and just give everything back to the what they say is, should go to the Palestinians. The problem is there are 600,000 Jews living in the West Bank. That's bigger than Milwaukee. Milwaukee is 540,000 people in the city. And like I've said before, how'd you like to go to Milwaukee and tell all of Milwaukee to pack up and leave? Just leave your stuff. Just leave. And then you see the problem that they have in the West Bank. You say, well, why don't we just give it to them? Because it's a 60-40 split, 60% Muslim and 40% Jews. And what are you going to do with 600,000 Jews that often, some of them are their third generation? They've been there for the last 60 years, 65 years. That's their home. That's their businesses. They've raised their kids and grandkids there. And they control 40% of the land. They've been there that whole time. So the issue is, how do we resolve it? Let's just give it to them. Well, let's just give, just tell Milwaukee to leave. Don't tell them to where they need to go. Just say, just leave everything. Just go. It, like that's going to work. Let's see. In response, Netanyahu canceled his visit to Washington at the end of next week. Really, the Obama administration, they called up and President Obama said, I can't fit you in the schedule again. So Netanyahu said, well, then I'm not coming. And so then the Obama administration runs out and says, we're shocked that Netanyahu has snubbed us and he's not going to come. Huh. They were the ones that told Netanyahu, we're not going to meet with you. And so Netanyahu gives them some cover and says, well, during an election year, it probably wouldn't be good for me to show up because they're going to, all the candidates are going to want to talk to me and, you know, that. But then, so it's a mess. But really what had happened was President Obama came out and said, we're going to go with the UN and we're not going to veto it anymore. Now that they have to rethink everything, Israel has to now, if that happens, because the UN may try to impose something on them. And they're a sovereign nation, and the United Nations does not have the right to impose, just in a sovereign nation, a peace treaty. They can try, but we've never used the United Nations in decades and decades because we've never gotten their cooperation. That's why all the past couple of wars have been NATO wars, not the United Nations. We've gone to the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Biggest problem with the United Nations blueprint is that it requires Israel. Oh, I said that. I read that. Due to rampant rape and sex slaves, a European organization called Quilliam Foundation estimated now 31,000 women have gotten pregnant from ISIS. Anybody need a job at a daycare? Because 31,000 pregnancies are on their way. It was reported yesterday by Breitbart News that ISIS has been forcing children to play soccer with the decapitated heads in order to desensitize them to violence. Prior to this time, they simply handed the knives to the kids and had them carry the knives to the executions, and the kids' job was to hand the knives to the adults. Now, cutting off the heads in Islam is not like put your head down over the stump and we'll use a big sword or an axe. They use a small knife and they use a sawing action and they do it over a long period of time so the person is terrorized while it's happening. It's not a quick death. They do it slow on purpose. Like if you took out your jackknife and you just start sawing away, that's how they're doing these beheadings. And now they're giving the heads to the kids, and they reported so many different times that they've witnessed making the kids kick the heads around and play soccer with them. Oil prices in the stock market highs, along with government-reported unemployment rate, shows a solid economy. All other statistics worldwide show a long-term global recession. Which one is correct? Probably both. Probably both. We're just not as bad as the rest of the world right now. We're not feeling as much pain as the rest of the world is feeling. But the stock market and the unemployment rate, those figures are pretty phony. They don't measure really what's going on. The news media and liberal politics were shocked. They're taking these exit polls while the people are voting at the primaries, asking them what they believe the number one issue in America is. And they they pretty much thought they knew what the answers were all going to be. 60% of the people, these were all Democrats that they actually polled, 60% of them said the economy, the U.S. economy. And they didn't want to hear that. The seventh largest economy in the world is imploding. That would be Brazil. It's going through its worst time since the Great Depression. Official inflation rate is 181%. They are running to the stores as fast as they can to buy whatever they can because prices are going up faster than they can even imagine. Bakeries, they're closed, no bread. Venezuela is not far behind. I already told you China's laying off 6 million state workers. U.S. factory orders have dropped for 15 months in a row. Global recession is happening. The United States is not far behind, but is doing pretty well compared to the rest of the world. Even we're kind of holding our own, but even during the Great Depression of the 1930s, there were periodic surges where the unemployment rate dropped and stocks came back up before they crashed again. They just could not get a footing. Sometimes it would last a couple months, sometimes a couple short years, but they could never get out of their depression. Right now, the world is heading into a depression, while the United States is heading into a recession, but nobody wants to say that word, so they'll play all around it. The latest oil group is now called ROPEC. You remember OPEC? ROPEC is the combination of Russia and OPEC. They're using its influence to try to move oil sales away from the U.S. dollar. In other words, they want to dump the dollar. They want to start buying and selling oil with a different currency. And ROPEC will control 3/4 of the world's oil. Right now, Saudi Arabia and Russia are really at odds, almost to the point of fighting, you know, in Syria. Saudi is getting ready to send weapons and soldiers into Syria because they're against Russia. They're one of the competitors with Russia, and yet now they find themselves in this oil group with Russia. Kind of weird, huh? Conservative Supreme Court Justice Scalia, it was suspicious circumstances. One of Scalia's recent strong positions had been on trying to keep terror suspects in Guantanamo. Another strong position was not allowing non-citizens constitutional rights and rights to vote. He was very strong on this before he died, and there were some court cases coming up. So he's been moved out of the way, one way or another. So I'm not sure what to do about that. President Obama said he was just too busy in his schedule to be able to go to the funeral. One presidential candidate last week, I'm not saying who, said that we are only one U.S. Supreme Court justice away from having religious liberty abolished and Christians going to prison for their beliefs. So how's that Syrian truce doing? Not bad. Only 135 dead this week, seeing that there's 370,000 dead to date. 135 dead is small. We were the ones that originally funded and started that war. I always say that President Obama was the one that started the war. Actually, it was his Secretary of State at the time that promoted it. I don't know if you remember what her name was. Hillary something. The defense minister of Saudi Arabia is also the crown prince and king-to-be someday. He's shipping missiles capable of striking the new Russian T-90 tanks to Syria. That's what I said. The Saudi prince who's going to be king. These T-90 tanks are virtually indestructible, except these missiles can take out a tank. This will create a whole new situation in Syria. A week ago, Saudi sent 4 F-15 fighter jets to Turkey because Russia is on the verge of almost starting a war with Turkey over this whole deal. So I'm not sure what's going on. They're trying to be good friends, and they are arming each other like crazy. Turkey and Saudi want to go to war against Russia, and they want to do it by proxy in Syria, kind of like Russia fought the United States in Vietnam. So we'll see where this civil war and this temporary peace goes. Hezbollah fighters from Lebanon have moved into western Syria and are now building their own weapons of mass destruction facility intended for use in the Syria war, but not really. What they're doing is they're gearing up for a war against Israel, and they're developing this weapons of mass destruction site just northwest of Damascus, just over the border. But its intended final use will be weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons and such in Israel itself. Remember, the longer the Syrian war goes on, the farther away the Israeli invasion is by the combined forces of Turkey and Iran. That would probably mean that if Turkey and Iran don't get together, they don't invade Israel. If they don't invade Israel, there is no Ezekiel 38 war. There's no 38 war. There's no 7 years following the war and the peace treaty. So the longer the Syrian civil war goes on, the farther down the road Bible prophecy is pushed. Because the ones that are fighting each other in this current war have to get together and then attack Israel in the next war. So the resolution of the Syrian war would probably bring on a quicker attack of Israel. So I don't know what this peace treaty is going to do. I think this peace agreement is probably going to fall apart. But if it doesn't, and if it holds and they resolve something, then they got to make nice to each other so that they can have the invasion of Israel. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, suffering succotash, is a branch of the government of the United States Department of Commerce. They came out recently with their hottest year ever press briefing to support global warming, but they only showed the past 37 years. Do you know why? Because the 58-year data shows no warming in almost six decades. This omission in their report is an attempt to defraud the public. They tried to take what they call urban heat island effects. That means if you're in a city and the sun is out, it's hotter in Chicago than it is in Lake Geneva. Because of the buildings and the surfaces of the parking lot and the roads and the highways, they were using short-term data from these urban heat islands and tried to say we've got global warming going on, where their 58-year data shows no warming at all in almost 60 years. Interesting. I'll try it over there. Yeah. In the recent Journal of Science, it's called the PLOS-1, there was an article. Here's the name of the article: Biomechanical Characteristics of Hand Coordination and Grasping Activities of Daily Living. How your hand works, okay? In the Science magazine, how your hand works. Sounds pretty exciting, right? The article says that the very clever way in which muscles work with human hand movements is attributed to the proper design of a creator. Well, that got him in real trouble. So much so that people are canceling out their subscriptions to the magazine. So now the magazine has come out and they're going to print a retraction and pull the article, because the scientists said that the hand can only be made by intelligent design. Apparently, the editor was asleep that day, and it must have slipped by. They wouldn't have let that one through. And now I have one more final thing yet. This has nothing to do with end times, but it has everything to do with me. It's scientific. This substance is good for your heart, reduces the risk of strokes, protects your skin from the sun, and now it shows it improves your memory and abstract thinking. In other words, it makes you smarter. What is it? A new study with 333 test subjects showed that you get smarter if you eat chocolate at least once a week. I know. Well, here's an interesting thing. The study warned against stuffing your face all week long. Right. Well, I don't know what kind of chocolate it is. I'll close my eyes. Yeah, I'll eat it in the dark. I don't care. But anyway, there hasn't been a lot going on in the world of Bible prophecy in the last couple months. Kind of the same old. And so if we come up with one really super important thing a month now, even it sounds like, wow, there's a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff is almost a carryover, as you see, they're all progressing towards this moment when we're going to hit a World War III of some kind. Now, World War III doesn't involve the entire world, but it affects the entire world. And right now, there's probably 50 nations that are arming themselves and getting ready, and they don't know where it's going to pop, whether it's going to be in Southeast Asia, dealing with North Korea or the China Seas, or in the Middle East. They're not sure how that's going to spread or if something's going to pop in Africa or not. Probably not Africa. It looks like they're not getting as much foothold or headway nor the type of weapons that they're using. But it's going to pop, and the next president is inevitably going to deal with it. I don't think they're going to get a slide for the rest of this year plus another 4 years after that. So everybody's getting their guns ready. It wasn't like Hitler decided to have a war and he said, you know, I'm not doing anything this weekend. It took him nearly a decade to actually position himself, get his factories built, get his weapons in place, get his soldiers trained. This thing takes years to do. And right now, we are in one of those periods of time where everybody is moving their pieces on the board and getting them ready. And I don't know what year this thing is going to pop, but when it does, it'll send a shudder through the world economies, through oil prices, through trade agreements. Everything is going to be shaken, and it'll be the aftermath of a major war that's going to bring different kind of peace agreements, global governments, and peace treaties. When that happens, I do not know. I do know that Israel still has another little over a year left in God's promise to restore their 70 years of captivity. And that is up in May of 2017, about 4 months after the next president takes office. After that, God has fulfilled his promise to the nation Israel to give them back the 70 years that was stolen from Babylon in the capture. The prophet Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, they were all part of that 70 years in Babylon that God said, I'll give those years back to you. There was a penalty phase when they disobeyed him that was up in May of 1948. And when that penalty was lifted, they became a nation again, and God gave them 70 prophetic years. So there's still a year to go of God's promise that nothing's going to happen to Israel to drive them out or the Antichrist take over as long as there's a year left on that promise. And there's about 14 months left. But all bets are off once God has fulfilled his word and his promise to them. Because as much as we pray for the peace of Israel and Jerusalem, they fall, they do not wind up surviving and staying in their country, because eventually the Antichrist does move in and drive them out. They will be attacked and they will survive a major war, but after that, they will collapse from deceit from within and the Antichrist and the world forces. All this stuff is ahead of us down the road. What is the next world war going to be? I'm not sure. There could be, like we had before, a European war and an Asian war going on. Right now, it sure looks like it's going to be a Mideast war and some kind of an Asian war going on. We've got 317,000 soldiers working together right now, pretending to invade North Korea, while Korea is launching off charges and doing, you know, photo ops, showing all their stuff and threatening back. And I don't know how crazy that guy is, nor do I know what we're doing. Keep steaming our war machines past the China ships out by those deserted islands. Like, come on, take a shot at us. Come on, somebody take a shot at us. It's crazy. If the war breaks before the election, then it's difficult to know what to do. What would probably, I doubt if there'd be martial law unless something hit the United States itself. As long as the war occurred on other land or in the ocean, we probably wouldn't go with a martial law. That's what people are concerned about, because martial law would cancel the elections. At this point in time, it looks stupid to keep running your ships back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. We're running these back and forth, back and forth, and we're just waiting for somebody to take a shot so we can go, oh, I can't believe it. Yeah, we'll test a hydrogen bomb. So I don't know what we're doing. Somebody's trying to start a war over there, and we don't own that. The issue is that those 10,000 islands are virtually uninhabited. They got a tremendous amount of resource. A lot of countries want to claim them because they want the bucks. China is busy building military bases there with missile, anti-missile capability, and bringing their ships and their people in there because they want to be able to start tapping into the natural resources. They're saying, we own this. The United States says, no, no, no. The islands off your coast, they're not yours. They're creating their own islands and expanding them out farther and farther, and that's part of their basis right now. Very ingenious. What we're doing over there, trying to start a war, is crazy. When the Middle East stuff, we started those wars. We were the ones that armed them and sent the money and tried to get it started because we wanted to help knock Assad out of place so the Shiites could come in and take over. Well, it wasn't that. It was the Sunnis. What is it? What were they? 75% Sunni there? And there's a like a line of Shiites that cut through that whole region. But we got the war started over there, working through the Muslim Brotherhood, and that has been 370,000 dead, and that goes to our account, the United States, meaning our. Right now, with Russia military in place, Saudi, they've already are buying missiles from Pakistan, nukes, and I don't know who else has nukes. If Iran's got the nukes, but a lot of players in the area now have nukes and tactical nukes, small nukes that can be confined to a 5-mile area. And everybody's positioning all their rockets and stuff at the same spot at the same time. And especially as this truce is going on, they're using that to quickly move more stuff around underneath of the ceasefire. So something's going to pop. And it'll affect a lot of stuff. But the end result is going to be peace agreements, global government, then an eventual attack on Israel, and another big peace agreement, and somebody to come in and finally stop these wars, which will be the false prophet, the Antichrist. That's why I'm saying the Syrian civil war shoves things down the road farther, the longer that that baby goes on, unless we, if we get another war started over off the coast of China with either North Korea or China itself. Right. It's not, the war economy will be good, depends on whose side you want, and how you're going to make money off of the deal. But it also will cause other economies to completely crash while a lot of people make a lot of money and those kind of things. So I didn't even go into everything that's happening in Europe and the European banks and everything like that. It's just a disaster over there. They are on the very verge of coming apart at the seams. And we're doing pretty good over here. But this next year is going to be a really interesting one. The key thing for tonight was the United States deciding that we are not going to support Israel anymore and let the United Nations try to impose their will and divide the nation and divide the city. That is a biblical prophecy that is going to take place, that eventually the Antichrist gets that done. In the invasion of the Ezekiel 38 war, they die on the mountains of Israel, which means they die in the West Bank. The invading armies die in the West Bank, the contested territory. Israel wins that war, but then loses the deceptive war to the Antichrist as they allow them to step in and take over. So where are we at in the end times? We got some time to go. We got some time to go. This thing could play itself out, but that's why I said, I wonder in the next 5 years, what are the chances of a World War III occurring on the next person's watch, no matter who it is. Even if you get a person in there with the strength of a Reagan that would say, hey, if you guys are going to fight, take it over there. Leave us alone. So I don't know what's going to happen, but what a critical key year it is for all of us. And the other thing I wanted to reemphasize is never count God out. Because these are world things from a fallen world, and the equation of God can change any one of these factors at any time and take us by surprise, always a pleasant surprise, interventions and salvations and all sorts of things, opening up things that we never even spotted before, that God will rush in, like the collapse of a Berlin Wall and then the collapse of a Soviet Union and the rushing in of Christians and all sorts of things. Never, ever give up hope, because this stuff can bum you out. Okay, this sucks, you know. I just want a good life. Can't we all get along? And the answer is, yeah, you can have peace no matter where you are, but we're in a time where peace, there is no peace. There won't be world peace. From here to the end, you got trouble, my friend. But we don't have to have trouble, and I'm not going to have trouble. I look at these things, and you might think that it bothers me. You know how much it bothers me? All the way to my Louis L'Amour cowboy novel. It doesn't bother me that much. I want to keep an eye on it like I want to keep an eye on a dog. If I'm riding my bike and I spot a big dog over to the edge, I want to know what that dog's doing and where it's at so I can make decisions as I'm going down the street. That's about it. I look at this stuff for kind of guidelines to keep my head out. I do not live my life by it, nor do I even look at the news every day. You can ask my wife. I don't read a newspaper. I don't watch the news. I'll go for days without knowing what's going on. I'll sit down in the coffee shop. I'll say, what's happening in the world? And I'll let other people tell me or just listen. But it may sound like I'm consumed with this stuff. I am not consumed with this stuff. I'm keeping my eye out on the dog just in case, checking to see how it's doing. And if it starts moving, I'll make adjustments. But until then, I'll keep riding my bike and having a good time. Bless God. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We love you and we purpose to serve you. Your plan is the best, and we are in your plan. We are in your grace. We are in your place and in your mercy, and we love you for it. We're on the winning team, and I know how this thing ends. Jesus Christ, glorious bride, will be waiting for you when you return. Amen.